Praise God. Thank you for coming tonight. I said to somebody, all this rain, I'm glad we have a promise. The Lord said, we weren't going to do it again after Noah. But anyway, we'll be needing it, I'm sure, about July, August, September, those dry months. So, but thank you for being here. Thank you, Pastor and Ms. Mickey, for the privilege and the honor of standing in the pulpit. I never take this lightly. I am honored to stand here behind a man like Pastor Eddie and Miss Mickey, and we're, Jen and I are so glad to be at Grace House. It's home to us. I'll just give you a warning now. You'll have to run us off because we're not going otherwise. So we love it here. We believe God brought us here, and with all our hearts, we plan on being here till we go home. And I used to go after see some of these funny things, and I used to try to find out things that were on tombstones in cemetery. And the funniest one I ever found was it had in that man's name, and right below it says, "I told you I was sick." I love that one. Anyway, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace, your presence. Thank you, Lord, that we already been praying, and thank you for answering. You said that poor man cried and the Lord heard him, delivered him out of all of his trouble. So, Lord, we thank you tonight. With all my heart, Lord, I say thank you for the privilege of standing here. We as a church congregation pray for Pastor Eddie and Miss Mickey, all of the leadership. Lord, we just pray for each other that in these days of turmoil and a lot of stuff we can't explain, as I've already prayed, I decree and declare, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. Kingdom of God come into our day. Will of God be done in our day like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I got some things on my heart tonight. I've just pulled my heart back and let you look at it. So if you have your Bible and we're going to use it tonight, would you go over to the sixth chapter of Galatians? We'll begin there. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, most of you would know the whole context of this, but I want to jump off at 14 in a minute, but I want to give a context of it. If you go back to verse 11, let's just read 11, 6:11 of Galatians. This is the New King James. "See with what large letters I've written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that you may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." I don't need to stop there. Paul just said, a lot of you are being circumcised because the message of the cross will bring persecution if you don't. That's just what he said. And then the next verse he said, "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that you may boast or glory in your flesh." Two verses I want to talk to you from tonight. "But God forbid that I should boast." The word boast in the original language can be, and in most and many situations, translates glory. So let me use that word. "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." So I want to talk to you about what Paul just said. God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross. So I want to talk to you about the glory of the cross. In 1 Corinthians If you have your Bible and you're looking on first, second chapter, second verse, 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul said, I determined. I sound like he's got his heart around it. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, we believe a lot of things, but the core of it all is what happened at the cross. What happened at the cross came out on resurrection morning. The power of God came at Pentecost. The authority is at the right hand of the Father. He sits there in full authority, managing and ruling and reigning over the kingdom. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's not up for vote? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's not going to be. He always has been, always will be. And aren't you glad before I was, he was. And so I want to talk to you about, because I want to look at something tonight with you. I want us to explore. And this is all new, not new to you. It's all hat. We will explore tonight, I pray, what happens to the believing heart when they make it to the cross. What happens? And then we will end by what happens if you don't. So let's go. The first thing I want to talk to you about is when you get to the cross, you have a new birth certificate. You get a new one at the cross. I have one. Matter of fact, I asked Jean before we came tonight, don't I have a birth certificate? She said, yeah. I said, where is it? Well, she told me where she thought it was. That proves that I'm here. How many of you know, but you can't go to heaven with your birth certificate? Not this one. And so I found, you know this, I found this in John chapter 3. Look at verse 3. John 3, Jesus answered and said to a Jewish rabbi, he answered to Nicodemus and said to him, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that really puzzled Nicodemus, born again. Actually, it translates born from above. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, physically, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How many of you know, we're headed to an eternal world, but you're not going to enter into what we want to enter into without these having happened to us. That which is born of the flesh, said Jesus, next verse, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, first of all, when you come to the cross, you bring your sin, you bring your mess, you bring your whatever it is, and there you exchange what you were for what he wants you to do and be, and he does it at the cross because that's what he's dying to give you. Now, the beautiful thing is your birth certificate is written in the book of life. Aren't you glad that tonight, if I could call heaven, and I can, of course, if I could call heaven and say, look up June Shell and see if her name's there. Wouldn't it be wonderful that Gabriel or whoever's in charge of all of that goes down and let June Shell. Yeah, here it is. Her name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me tell you what I found out. Four times in the book of Revelation, four times, John talks about the book of life. I want to talk about two of them real quick. In John chapter 3, verse 5, this is the first one. And this is what it says. The Bible says, and I'm translating it to our language, if you come to the cross and receive the Christ of the cross, then the Christ of the cross, what it says, will confess you before the throne of God. I don't know about you. That word confess is an interesting word. You know what it means. And it's got a Greek guy sitting here on the front row. It comes from the root word homologia, same word. And how many know when Jesus says to the Father, I mean, can you imagine walking to the throne of God and the Father said, Son, who's that? He says, he with me. How many know that's good news? He will confess that you belong to him. That happened at the beginning of the cross. Your name is in the book. And then as you end the whole book of Revelation, you get to that 20 and 21 chapter the great white throne judgment. This is what Jesus said. If your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you will be cast into outer darkness forever. Now, the only people going to heaven are those in the book. That's your birth certificate. Now, come on now. Hell, listen to me, hell can't steal it. The devil can't rob you of it. Come on now. It's in the book of life, sealed by the blood of the Lamb. And he said, Jesus said, if you confess me, I will confess you before my Father. Okay, so we start there. It's called a new birth certificate. So I got two, so have you. I got a birth certificate on the inside. I've been born again. So I've actually, and you have, experienced two births. Physical birth, spiritual birth when you got saved. Okay, let's move it to another level. And then, not only do you get to have your name in the book of life, you get a new transfer. I love this. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, listen to it real good. I love that. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Colossians 1, 13, this is what it says. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, when I got saved, I had no idea what all happened. All I knew is I got saved. The ramifications of that, I had no idea. So when I look at that, there's some words that I want to look at with you. The first one, he said, when God says, you have, you can't get what you have. Come on now. If you already got it, you can't get it. I mean, you can't get in this room. You already are. Bless God. I can't become a man. I already is a man. And I don't care what government says. I'm going to die as a man. You understand? So when he says, if I have it, he has. That means past tense, right? I've already entered into something, and there's a number of words I want to look at. First of all, you've been delivered. Right here is the text. Colossians 1, you've been delivered. The word actually translates, you've been rescued. You're on your way to hell. I mean, you're going to spend an eternity in hell, and God in the Son rescued us. That was the first word. He delivered us. And notice the next word, from. And the New King James uses the word darkness. The word from there is interesting. How many of you know darkness don't have authority over light? The only way you can have darkness is turn the light off. And if I were the devil in America, you know what I would do? I'd tone the church down. I'd turn the light down and try to get it turned down. And so darkness would begin to come in. I got some good news for you. He is the light of the world. The Bible said in him was life. And the life was in him. The darkness could not overtake it. You know, the major issue in America is the church. If we had the church, every Christian in America would get on fire for Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and begin to walk it and live it, what would happen in this nation? You know what would happen. Now, I'm not talking about you necessarily, but I'm telling you, the church at large, when God wakes up the bride, look out, devil. So what would the devil do? Tune it down. How many of you know when you turn up the light, darkness, you don't have to curse the darkness, it just leaves. And so right here, it says, we've been delivered, rescued from darkness. And then he uses another word. He uses the word power. We've been rescued from the power. But the word power is not the word dunamis, it's the word authority. Do you realize here tonight, when you came to the cross and got Christ, that he delivered you into an authority and a power that overpowers all that hell has to offer? It says it from authority, from all the authority of darkness. So somebody said, well, I just can't keep from sinning. Yes, you can. You can keep from it. I didn't say we don't. I'm saying we don't have to. Come on now. Bless God, if you have authority over darkness, the devil don't want you to know that. He thinks that he that endureth to the end, your verse. Bless God. We need to rise up in who we are and know that we've been delivered from the authority of darkness. Now watch this. And transferred. Y'all excuse me. I just preach myself happy every once in a while. I just can't help it. And then we got transferred, and the Greek word means move from one place to another. Well, let me just show you when we came to the cross. I'm over here, lost as a goose in the fog, going to hell, living in sin, don't know who I am, don't know where I'm going. I came to the cross, received what Jesus died to give me, and so it was with you. And then I got transferred over here. Look what it says. I got transferred where? Into his kingdom. So now, as a believer, you are now part of a kingdom. I know one day he's coming, but you're in the kingdom now. Isn't that what he said? Kingdom of God, come, manifest your kingdom in my life. And so the transfer to me is overwhelming. I got transferred. Not only, listen to me now, did I get a new birth certificate like you did, I got a new transfer. My God, when I walked out of that little Methodist church, I didn't know I'd been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and from its authority into the kingdom of his beloved son. I didn't know that. And you know, you've heard me say this, on the way to mama's for lunch that day, Gina and I, first time I ever heard the voice of the devil said, so you thought you got saved. I said, well, I thought I did. That's what I said. I thought I did. And that night, back in that little Methodist church, the preacher looked at me and said, Doc, it's customary in this place when you get saved, you stand up and tell it. Stand up. I was scared to death. I stood up and said, this morning I got saved. Sit down. When my bottom hit that pew, I knew that I knew that I knew I'd been transferred. And so, I mean, you know, I go back to the old boys. I left on Saturday, same old boys. But they didn't know I'd had a transfer. So I told them. You know, in these days when you get saved, don't tell it. It's quiet. It's private. Bless God, tell it. If it's good enough to have, it's good enough to tell. So, I mean, these old boys that you've heard me say, these old boys, they were... They rough boys. I mean, when I say rough, I don't even want to describe it publicly what they did for a living. Anyway, and I wasn't doing all they were doing, but I was as lost as they were. And you know, there's not a hell number one and a hell number two. So if you're going, you're going. If you're not, you're not. So that morning, I go back to these old rough guys I left Saturday. I said, guess what, guys? I got saved yesterday. He goes, saved? And then you know what they said? Doc got religion. Well, something happened to me that day that normally would have provoked a cussing fit, but the cuss wasn't there. Come on now. I'd been transferred. Come on now, church. You know, back in those days, every once in a while, somebody'd get happy and run them down the aisle shouting. My pastor said one time, the church he pastored before he came to pastor us, one morning somebody came and said, preacher, I started to say amen this morning. He said, thank God you didn't. You'd have scared somebody to death. So aren't you glad you've been transferred? Amen. Come on. If you know you've been transferred, come on. I'm gonna put you on the spot. If you know you got a new birth certificate, if you know you've been transferred, give God an amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't it just feel good to say it? But that's not all. Listen, we're just getting started. At the cross, the glory of the cross is now you've been forgiven and redeemed. Look at the next verse in Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 14. Watch what he says. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, you know, there it is. We have it again. In whom we have. We're not just getting it. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And let me ask you, a couple of questions I want to ask. So what does it mean to be forgiven? I did a lot of study. I'm trying to answer that and boil that down to something that we could say quickly. We have been forgiven. How many of you know, listen to me, when you came to the cross, he didn't hold a little back. He forgave all. Are you listening? The memory may be there, but the forgiveness has been released and given. So this is what I found out. First of all, forgiveness means letting go of what was. Letting go of what was. But I've been forgiven. God said, and I won't remember it anymore. And then the other thing he said, you are now reconciled to God through the blood of the Lamb. The third thing he said, then you're justified as if you'd never sinned. I don't know about you, but no wonder they call it good news. Come on now, how many know Jesus didn't show him going, hey, y'all, I've come to bring you some bad news. Bless God, it's good news. And it happened at the cross. The glory of our life is at the cross. So, you know, so what does it mean to be redeemed? We sing the song, I'm redeemed, and I love that song. Well, what does it mean? Well, here's what I found out. It means that we've been rescued from sin and its consequences. I've been rescued, so have you, from sin and its consequences. The second thing I found out was we've been delivered from captivity and bondage. Bless God, I'm owned by no one but the Lamb of God. The devil don't own you. He has no rights over you. You're private property. Come on now. You've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Come on now. So we need to tell the devil at once, what are you doing around here? I love, you may have, June really shared it and blessed my heart, but old Dutch here a few weeks ago when he was backslidden back about 17, 18 years old, was in a bar. He was in drugs and alcohol, the whole nine yards. He said, I'm in the bar and drinking and drugging. And he said, all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. Jesus said, what are you doing here? Talking to Dutch. What are you doing here? Dutch said, I'm going to ask you, what are you doing here? He said, I came to get you. Aren't you glad there was a time in your life that he said, I've come to get you? I mean, that's what it means to be delivered from captivity and bondage. Now, let me ask another question. So how's all this going to happen? And here's what I came up with. The only one that can deliver us and redeem us is the kinsman redeemer. So when I look at, if you want to know a lot about the kinsman redeemer, you can go to the book of Ruth, or you can go, Leviticus 25 talks a lot about that sort of thing. But, so who was a kinsman redeemer? Somebody had to get into my mess, and get me out of it so that I could glory only on the cross. Who was that? Well, it was the kinsman redeemer. First of all, he had to be a relative. Kinsman redeemer had to be a relative. The second thing, he had to be one that would pay the debt of another at his own expense. Did you get it? A kinsman redeemer is one who has to pay the debt of another by himself for his own expense. No wonder we worship. The more revelation we have of that statement, the more worship will be supernatural and natural. You know, to me, and Andrew's sitting back there, he's a professional at this, but to me, praise is thanking God for what he's done. Worship is the revelation of who he is. And so when I look at the kinsman redeemer, wow. One who will pay the debt that he doesn't owe by his own expense. Well, I found this out. The qualities of a kinsman redeemer was this. He was a kinsman. He was a man. John 1:14 said, and the word became flesh I mean, flesh, you pinch it. If you cut it, it bled. If you fell, you bruised. If he hurt, he hurt. He was all man, yet all God, all in one. But he was a kinsman. Hallelujah. But he had to be free himself. A kinsman redeemer can't free some of his kin folks if he's in bondage. But aren't you glad your kinsman said this, the devil cometh unto me, finding nothing in me. Aren't you glad that not only the kinsman redeemer, the qualities, he had to pay the price. Not only to pay it, he had to be willing to. Can I give you some good news? I know you know this. Read it in John. There he is. See, he fought a battle across the Kidron Valley, a place called Gethsemane. That was the greatest battle Jesus ever fought. No man ever fought the battle that Jesus fought in Gethsemane. Because it was there that even his sweat was like drops of blood. Because that's the trauma, if there's any other way. Because he knew what the cross meant. But then he settled it. Told his disciples, sleep on. Goes down the Kidron Valley, and you know the story from there. They nail him to the cross. 6 hours. I mean, no, not nine. Aren't you glad that the Bible is very emphatic? 6 hours. 6 hours he's on the cross. Why not seven? Why not five? Because six is the number of man. The sixth hour. He bowed his head and said, it's finished. The kinsman redeemer at the cross paid the full debt of your life to bring you into full relationship with the Father. That's what the glory of the cross is all about. So, wow. And that's not all. When you went to the cross, it gave you a new name and a new beginning. A new name. There's a new name. I wish I could sing, but I would empty the place if I started. But there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Praise God, it's mine. So he gave me a new beginning and a new name. Can I give it to you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, new position. You and I have a new position in him. Do you know where you are? Did you know that God cannot see you any other way except in the redemption of his Son? When God looks at you, he looks at you and deals with you through the redemption of his Son because you are in his Son. I mean, people not in here, when they look in here, they only see you in here. Blessed be God. When Father looks at you, he sees the redemption of the Son of God on your life, in your life, flowing from your life. That's what I call a new position. You've been promoted. But that's not all. You have a new beginning. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. God didn't come to fix up the old man. It had a stench about it. The old man that came from Adam needed to die so a new man could rise up. See, you know, if we aren't careful, we think Jesus just came to kind of help us. If I could say it correctly, Jesus came to kill you. Because you got to get rid of you to give you a new you. If any man be in Christ, right here it is. If he's in Christ, it's a new position. A new creation, you got a new beginning. And then and right here it is in the text. Old things have passed away. He's got a new identity. If old things have passed away, somebody's been to the funeral. Come on, I've been, Pastor and I, and these other, we've done a lot of funerals. You don't do funerals without dead people. Can I tell you at the cross when you came, there was a funeral. you died. And if you can hear this, it's just like God backed up the hearse, loaded you up, and hauled you off. Now he says, if any man is in Christ or woman, they are what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Now watch this. Then you got a new revelation. All things have become new. You see things different. Isn't that right? I mean, God gave you a new set of eyes. That don't mean you've arrived or we've arrived. But you see things different. You look at things different. I mean, back before Jesus, I mean, I did things, saw things. Now that I've been transferred, I see the same thing and I'm convicted about it. Why? Because, blessed be God, I got a new revelation and a new set of eyes. So have you. Well, let's drop down to the last point. But we need to go to the old covenant because the glory of my life and yours is what Jesus did at the cross and what he did for you. My glory. If I had $10 trillion and if I gained the whole world, lost my soul, what would it profit me? What is my glory? My glory is that, and Jen and I started this walk together in 1967. We've enjoyed each other and the ministry for all this time. It's been wonderful. It's not always been easy, but it's been good. But is that my glory? If somebody gave me all the money I could ever, is that my glory? If I became a president, is that my glory? Where's my glory? You ever say where it is? My glory, God forbid that it's anywhere but on the cross. What he did for me. That's my glory. Well, if you want to take a minute, if you have your Bible, go to the Old Covenant. I want to show you something. What happens if you miss the cross? I believe in my heart, if we aren't careful, we sidestep the cross and try to go on beyond it. But God keeps bringing us back because I want to show it to you in the Old Covenant. Look at 17 of Exodus and look at verse 5 and 6. In verse 5, as you would know, Israel is now out of Egypt under the hand of Moses, and they're thirsty. They're grumbling, they're complaining to their pastor. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 5, 17 of Exodus, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river. That's when the Red Sea parted. You struck the river and go. Behold, look at verse 6. I will stand before you on the rock in Horeb. You will strike the rock and water will come out. And the people, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And you know what happened. Water came out to feed not only their animals, but all of the people, probably maybe 3 million people. Wow. That's quite a miracle. But you want to go a little further with me into the 20th chapter of Numbers. Let me show it to you. Same scenario. 20th chapter of Numbers. Verse 6, same thing. They're thirsty, they're grumbling, they're contentious. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, and they fell on their face, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Verse 7 and then verse 8. This is what he said to you. Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Now, same scenario. They're dying of thirst. The first one, strike the rock. Second one, God said, speak to the rock. Well, can I tell you something rather humorous, but it's in the Bible. Moses was mad. Look at the middle of verse 10. Hear now, you rebels. I sound like a mad preacher. Would you say the pastor's upset? Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand, struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly. Now, that was grace. Well, are you ready for this? Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me. You see that? I want you to look at that. Because you did not believe me to hallow my name or hallowed me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. God just said, Moses, I told you to speak to the rock. You smote it twice. Because you didn't believe, you will never take this people into the land that I have promised them. Let me quickly, you know it, you know where I'm going. Deuteronomy chapter 3. God now takes Moses to the top of Pisgah, verse 27, chapter 3 of Deuteronomy. He takes Moses up to the top of Pisgah. And he said to Moses, lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east, and behold, you notice what he said, and behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over the Jordan. You know what just happened? God took Moses to Pisgah and said, now you see what could have been yours? It'll never be yours. Why? Because the rock you struck twice, you didn't hallow my name. Joshua will take the people into that land, but you can see it, but you will never possess it. Don't turn there, but listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Paul said, the rock that Moses smote was Jesus. This is the quote. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The first time God said to Moses, strike the rock with the cross. The second time, he said, speak to what? What the cross has already provided. And he wouldn't believe it. He was angry. And it kept him laying hold of what he could have had because he missed the cross. Whew. It's a heavy-duty thing for me. There's a lot of things in my life I won't get hold of until I go to the cross. The cross is the place where I can see it and lay hold of it. Because there's two things that happen at the cross. The glory of the cross is this. At the cross, you can only do, first of all, you have to do, at the cross, you have to surrender. I heard somebody say it recently. He asked, I'll just say this about me. When I was at UNA, you had to have some PE. You know, I forget how many. So I took swimming. You know what the other one? I took bowling. Anyway, I took swimming, and I'm sitting on the side of the pool with this guy wearing the cross. I thought, well, what an opportunity. I said to him, do you know the man that hang on that cross? You know what he did? He went, never said a word. The man wearing it around his neck was one thing, but Jesus wore it on his back. For you, for me, the glory of my life is the cross. And what happened there and who did it? So there's two things that happen at the cross for all of us. First of all, it's a surrender. You can't go to the cross without surrender. Cross is a place where you die. I mean, but the other part is faith. What did Jesus do? Listen to me now. He died for you and me. But he also died, according to Scripture, as you and me, as the second Adam. I've said it before, I say it again, I say it with great joy in my heart. Aren't you glad the day that it said is finished? Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, right? I have been crucified with Christ. Been, past tense. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. What? Christ lives in me in the life I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me, gave himself for me. So at the cross, what is it? There's surrender and there's faith. What did he do? He died for you. So when they took him down from the cross, they took you down. Put him in a tomb and roll this big rock. I've been in that place. He's not there. Somebody said hallelujah. He's not there. I knew he wasn't. But when I walked in there and I saw where he was, I started to weep. Praise God, it's empty. So we died in there. And guess what? Sunday morning when they went to anoint his body, the stones rolled away. He's not in there. He's out there. And we came out with him. Come on now, church. When he walked out, you walked out with him. Your sin is hidden back yonder, gone forever. Hallelujah. 40 days. Guess what happened? This resurrected Lord in a cloud of glory, goes back into heaven, takes his seat at the right hand of the Father. Guess what? The Bible said when he went up and took his seat, we went with him and took ours with him. The glory of the cross, my goodness, if we just could understand the wonder of what God did in his Son at the cross. Not only is the place where I entered into the kingdom, it's the place where I bring it all the time. I bring the issues of my life. Do you ever have thoughts that come through your brain that God didn't send? You do. We all do. What do you do with it? What does the Bible say with thought? You bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. And this has never failed me. Never that I have any recollection. Never failed me. If a thought wants to come into my brain and stop, that's not God. This is my process. Lord, that thought is not from you. I ask you to forgive me of that, and I surrender that thought to your Lordship, and I bring it to the cross, and I lay it at your feet, and I command its obedience to you. I have never had it fail, but the power of it didn't stop. Just like that. So I have a word for somebody. I really do. I believe the Lord spoke to me. A word. There's somebody here that the Lord wants you to hear. You've carried it long enough. What are you going to do with it? You leave it right here. See, surrender and faith and leave it. We all can leave it and drag it away, you know. But if it's hurt and pain and whatever it is, there's a thousand different things for all of us. But the glory of the cross is, I bring it. Lord, you died for victory over this, so I'm leaving it. And I'm going to leave it here. And so in the morning when you wake up, let it go, aha, how you feel now? Don't matter, I left it at the cross last night. Come on now, church. I left it at the cross last night. And my victory is in the cross, in the empty tomb, and a risen Lord. Hallelujah. So no wonder Paul would say, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross. Because it's there. And in him we live and move and have our being. Would you take that thing, whoever that is, and there's more than one, that you've been carrying it. God loves you so much. He's not angry with you, but he says, "Don't. I didn't equip you to carry it. I equipped you to leave it." At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. Why I left it here. Would you do that? Because I know in my heart, I know someone is carrying some things that you don't need to carry. And tonight, this Wednesday night, and I know I preached too long. Would you leave it there tonight? Let's pray together. Andrew, if you don't mind coming. Everybody's bowed and everybody's closed. I'll just take a minute and we will go from here home. But who would say to Jesus tonight, "I'm not coming to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing." Who's coming? Who would come to Jesus and say, "Lord, but Dr. Wright, I've carried it too long. I want to leave it tonight. I don't want to go home with it. I want to leave it. I've been there and done that. I can give you testimony, and you could give me testimony. We all have our own story. But if somebody needs to leave it tonight, God loves you that much. And your glory is not in what you could do for yourself. It's what he's done for you. Would you lift your hand up and say to Jesus, "I need to leave that tonight"? Yes, 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 yes. God bless every one of you. Yes, put your hand up, put it back down. Yes, I need to leave it tonight. Yeah. And you know what? You can. You can. Here's what I want us to do tonight. Pastor, he gave me liberty here, and I appreciate that. If you lifted your hand, would you get up from where you are? Because there's something about getting us into movement. Everybody that Jesus called, he did it publicly. If you lifted your hand, I'm not going to investigate why you come. That's between you and God. But if you lifted your hand, I'm going to get in agreement, and God's going to do exactly what you want him to do tonight. Would you come and just stand very quickly? Get up where you are and come and stand right here. We're going to pray together and let you go. If you lifted your hand, thank you, Lord. This you can't imagine. You can't imagine the joy of leaving something you don't have to carry it anymore. Just come and stand here. Amen. All of the building. And I understand. I've been there and done that. Your glory tonight is in the cross. Come on around, hon. Okay. Would the rest of you stand and raise your hand this direction? Because I want to pray for them, every one of you. All of you that are down here, I want you to pray this prayer after me, okay? Just pray it after me and mean it in your heart. Just say this: "Lord Jesus, I come to the cross and I'm bringing this and I'm leaving this. I'm not taking it back. I'm leaving it with you. And I'm laying it down in the name of Jesus. Thank you for taking it and receiving it and freeing me from it in Jesus' name." Now, if you meant that, and I believe you did, when you go back to your seat in a minute, don't pick it up and take it with you. And if the devil speaks to you on the way home, you tell the devil, "I left it back there at the cross, praise God." So how's it going to turn out? I don't know. I don't have to figure it out. I left it with Jesus at the cross. I mean, your faces look different. I mean, isn't it amazing? You're not equipped to carry that, huh? But here it is. Lord Jesus. Well, I could preach another hour, but let's don't. Would you lift your hand this way, all of you? I pray over every one of you. May the Lord Jesus bless you more than you can imagine. May he keep you. May he make his face shine on you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name. Pastor Eddie, would you pray for this lady right over here? Would you mind? She needs somebody to pray for her. Okay, you're dismissed. Thank you for being here. And if you want to fellowship with these folks, that'd be wonderful. They got a story to tell. I'm at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. God bless every one of you. Thanks for